Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I just wanted to mention this real quick. These are some FAQs from the New York Times, and I'll post this article on my Facebook page, but it answers some questions that I had and maybe still had even this morning as of the announcement last week by the Biden administration that a lot of student debt was going to be canceled. Only loans disbursed by June 30th of this year are eligible for relief. We wonder what the cutoff date was. Where was the start of the line, if you will? And it's June 30th. Loans disbursed by June 30th of this year are eligible. They can go back to infinity if you've still got debt. But after July 1st, it doesn't count. I have only graduate school debt, but I got a Pell Grant when I was an undergraduate. Am I eligible for the extra $10,000? Yes, you are. I had a Pell Grant for only 1 year. Am I eligible for the extra $10,000? Yes. I qualified for only a partial Pell Grant. Am I still eligible for $10,000? The answer is yes. Which type of debt qualifies? Only federal student loans. Private loans are not eligible. What about my FEL, the FFEL loan program? Is that eligible for forgiveness? It's a longer answer. Probably, they say, or at least eventually. I was a student this year. Do I qualify? Yes. But it matters when or if you were counted as a dependent on your parents, say, tax returns, in which case the eligibility would be based on their income, not yours. Are parent loans eligible? Yes, federal parent plus loans are eligible. That's different than what we first surmised. I think that's an important point for a lot of families. Are graduate student loans eligible? The answer is yes. PLUS loans are also available for graduate students, and these two are eligible for forgiveness. I did not finish my degree. Does this disqualify me? The answer is no. Doesn't matter if you graduated or not. Just a few of the frequently asked questions and answers in an article in the New York Times last couple of days. I'll post that on my Facebook page after the show. I'm WGN King John. Scott Bauer, does that sound like good news to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, John. How are you?
Good. I haven't talked to you in a while.
It has been.
Just what's your reaction to that, Scott? That's not why I called, but Scott Bauer's with the Prosper Trading Academy. I'll ask you about the markets in a minute, but everybody seems to have an opinion about the advisability of this. What do you say?
The advisability of the loans, of the $10,000 loans?
Of forgiving them, yeah.
Forgiving them? You know what? There's two sides to it, and I am absolutely not looking at the political side. I'm not going there. I think it's a wonderful thing for people that are able to take advantage of it. On the flip side of that, I think there's a lot of people that are also going to say, well, what about me? So I don't know how you pick and choose on that, John. I do think student loan forgiveness, you know, up to a certain point is good. I don't know where that line is. I think overall this probably, from an economic standpoint, is going to be a net zero. You know, I'm not sure that the economy is going to get the benefit out of this. So, you know, I'll look at it from that standpoint and say it's a net zero.
Yeah, I've heard people describe it as close, and maybe that's not why they did it. About the politics, you know, with our little Mincing Rascals podcast talked about this on Wednesday, and I was of a mind that this is not a slam dunk for, say, Democrats in the midterm or President Biden in a few years, couple of years. I'm not so sure that this will be fondly remembered by voters. I don't know. Maybe some people will think favorably of the president or Democrats after this, you know, if this all happens. But I think people will, even as they take the money, think, I don't think we should be doing this. I think that's sort of the general attitude out there. People will happily take the money.
I've heard more from the side of, well, what about my situation? You know, so I've heard more from the side of, well, if it's for them, why not for me? Which, you know, that's logical. That's human nature. And I think that is a really valid point. I really do.
One last thing here. This is why I called you. I'm going to pause here. We're going to update folks on the markets and the weather, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about the markets. But I've heard plenty of people say that there are plenty of tax breaks, debt forgiveness given to billionaires who declare bankruptcy or other individuals in a number of programs, including the PPP program, which was designed as a forgivable loan. So it's different than a student loan. But somebody else also remarked over the weekend that plenty of Black Americans for years contributed taxes to swimming pools they didn't get to swim in and libraries they couldn't go to and buses they had to sit in the back of. The notion that sometimes people have had to contribute to things whose benefits they did not receive the full reward is not new in this country. And there's no reason we have to exclude people who have borrowed for their education. I just don't think politically it's a smart move. We're talking to Scott Bauer, the CEO of the Prosper Trading Academy. Scott, talk to me a little bit about the markets right now. What do you see happening, and what's a smart investor supposed to do?
You know, there was definitely a shock to the system on Friday, John, from Jerome Powell and the Fed, where many, when I say people, I'm talking about experts and the like, many people thought that he was actually going to talk about easing rates, that going forward inflation has maybe peaked out. So that's what people are referring to as the pivot. So the market was looking for this pivot when what they got really was the opposite of that. And I'm very surprised at the language that he used, which completely spooked the market. I've never heard a Fed official talk about people having to experience pain, you know, before we can get a recovery. And I would bet that Jerome Powell wishes he hadn't said that. But that's what really put the market into a free fall on Friday, because now the expectation of higher rates for longer is there. Personally, I am still in the belief and in the camp that by the end of the first quarter next year, I believe the Fed will have gone too far and they're going to be lowering rates. But that's me. How do you invest? How do you, you know, what do you do in this marketplace? Well, you look for, you know, any drawdowns is an opportune time to invest for the long term. I'm talking about investing versus trading right now. So 1,000 points off the Dow on Friday, 100-plus points off the S&Ps on Friday. Today we're relatively flat. We've been a little, you know, mostly negative all day, but right around the flat line. I really think that the bottom has been put in. A lot of people are saying, you know, we're going to retest those June lows. I don't think we are, John. Now, can we sell off another 5-8% from here? Absolutely, we can. But if you're in the market for the long haul, this is the kind of opportunity you've got to be ready to jump on. Because I will tell you, most people that say, you know, I've got cash on the sidelines waiting to invest, when we get that market sell-off, they back away from it because they're scared. And now is the time where you start allocating a little bit to those stocks that, to me, are going to be here 10, 15, 25 years from now, the Apples, the Microsofts of the world. So that's my take.
Yeah, I wonder why people feel like they have to pick the bottom. I mean, you don't need to pick the bottom. Just pick a point at which you think the market will be better than it is now. And it would seem to me like, as you said, depending on your horizon, but if it's a few years out, if you can last that long, now's not a bad time to be throwing money in, right?
Totally agreed. And, you know, no one is ever going to pick the bottom. No one is ever going to pick the top. Anybody that, you know, thinks, including the best hedge fund managers in the world, anybody that thinks they have that ability is mistaken. So you just, as you said, you look for a point where, does this make sense for me months, years down the road? And you don't allocate everything you have all at once. You layer it. You know, you go in piece by piece by piece. So that, to me, that's the smartest way of you know, dealing with a marketplace like this that's going to remain highly volatile, at least through the end of the year. We will see a lot of volatility. I personally think the market will be higher by the end of the year from where we are right now. This is not a time for investors or traders to try and act like being a hero, right? It's just not that time. It's too volatile of a marketplace.
Do you like then index funds, or do you like certain sectors where, if you were going to position it, would you put some money?
Sure. So I think energy, even though it's had an amazing run, still has room to go for the next quarter. So I love some of the big energy stocks, whether it's an oil stock like a Chevron, a Marathon Oil, some of the drillers. I think shorter term, that's a great place. Longer term, you got to love some of these techs that have just absolutely been beaten down. The NVIDIAs of the world, Microns, AMD. You can talk about a Microsoft and an Apple in there as well. So I really like the high quality tech sector stocks. Again, not for the next 3 months per se, but you could get in there now 6 months, 9 months, a year down the road. I think you're going to like what you see.
Is there an American chip manufacturer I should be investing in right now?
I would have to look that up. I would have to Google that. There are a lot of shipping companies. Once the supply chain, if I'm not going to say if and when the supply chain issues really start to loosen up, that's probably a great space to be in.
Yeah, you answered the question for SHIP. What about CHIP, chip?
Oh, are you saying for the chip stocks themselves?
Yeah.
Yes, there is an ETF, and XLF is what it's. I'm sorry, XLF is for the financials. XLK is a fund, an ETF for the technology sector. And the largest holdings of that fund are the stocks we just talked about. So if someone wanted to get into that sector, not necessarily invest in an individual name, XLK is the fund you'd want to look at.
Scott Bauer is the CEO at Prosper Trading Academy. ProsperTrading.com is the website. Interesting, Scott. Thanks for your time today.
Always a pleasure, John.
Jim Dahlke, the senior editor at Chicago Inno, is a regular Monday guest following the, innovation scene, the technology and all of that stuff. And I'm looking at some interesting stories here once again. Thanks for joining us. How are you today, Jim?
Hey, John. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
I've been enjoying some Manny's corned beef today. And I'm looking at this one about a new plant-based take on jerky that's a Chicago company, right?
That's right. So this company called Theo Plant Based, based here in Chicago, is making beet jerky. That is not a misstep or a typo, BEET. They are creating essentially a beef jerky substitute made completely out of beets. So they're taking a vegetable-focused approach to a meat alternative in the jerky space. This startup, Theo, they say they are the first company kind of really taking this approach. A lot of meat substitute jerky companies are taking a mushroom route or soy, and so they think that they're the first that's really taking this vegetable approach using beets. And their approach to the jerky space got them into a startup accelerator led by Whole Foods. So Whole Foods Market got them in their latest accelerator program earlier this year, and they're going to be rolling out their product to both Chicago Whole Foods stores as well as the rest of the Midwest. So these guys think that the relationship with Whole Foods can certainly be fruitful and maybe expand the product nationally.
Well, I guess the proof is in the jerky. Is it good? I wonder how it tastes and how it feels,
Yeah, a great question. I haven't had a chance to try it, but it comes in three flavors: sea salt, cracked pepper, sesame ginger, teriyaki, and savory barbecue. So I think the flavor profile certainly headed in the right direction and sound pretty good. We'll have to determine, how quickly the market kind of reacts to stuff like this. We'll see. They're not the first company to kind of tackle this. There's definitely others operating in this space. But, time will tell if the beet approach is what the jerky fans are into.
And did you say that Whole Foods is helping to finance this, that they're funding this company in some way?
That's right. So the accelerator program comes with $25,000. So pretty small little equity investment, but really it's mostly about the partnership with Whole Foods, learning the ins and outs of, you know, distribution and retail, and getting their product on the shelf. So yes, there's a little bit of equity investment that comes with the partnership with the tech accelerator, but really, you know, the biggest benefit here is, you know, connecting with a large brand like Whole Foods who can, you know, bring your product across the country.
Do we have a supply chain summit coming to Chicago? Is this a convention that's going to be here?
Yeah, that's right. So later this year, there's going to be a venture summit all around logistics tech. And so, you know, really, this is based off of the Chicago Venture Summit, which was a program launched, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago now. It started really as not really industry specific. It was just, hey, there's an opportunity for venture capitalists across the country to get to know what's going on in Chicago. And you know, folks at World Business Chicago and the city and others kind of came together to host this annual event. Early on, it brought in folks from out of town, like Uber co-founder Travis Kalanick was the speaker. Peter Thiel came into town. So it's been one of the more high-profile venture capital events in town. And as of late, it's kind of become sector-specific. So last year, they did a food tech-specific event, so focusing on food startups. And now they're going to tackle logistics tech. So that's going to be the next one up here in the city. And you know, really clearly what's happening at the Venture Summit is they're leaning into the sectors that Chicago really does well, right? Food, of course, one. And then logistics being another. We've had about 12, 13 startups in town turn into unicorns, billion-dollar businesses, and several of them are in the logistics tech sector, like Project 44 and Four Kites and ShipBomb. So lots of fast-growing logistics tech businesses here in Chicago. The goal of the Venture Summit is really to show that off.
700 folks, that says here, registered for a May conference. I wonder how many folks we're going to get for this one.
Yeah, I mean, the World Business Chicago folks are very bullish on this and believe it will certainly be that or more. I think that, you know, what we've seen over the last 2 years is funding for Chicago's logistics tech startups increased more than 800%, and that's certainly due in part to the handful of unicorns I was mentioning who raised quite a bit of funding onto their billion-dollar valuation. So, yeah, the logistics tech sector is certainly a hot one in the city.
So we talk about logistics, we talk about beet jerky. Talk to me about quantum computing.
Yeah, so this is a startup in Chicago called AeroQ. They are creating a quantum computer chip. Actually, they just relocated to Chicago from Michigan earlier this year. They've raised about $7 million in new funding. They're working on a new computer chip that can help kind of power quantum computing. You know, they come at an interesting time. Chicago has sort of quietly become a very interesting player in the quantum startup space. You know, last year, Chicago became home to the first accelerator program in the country that's dedicated specifically to quantum startups and technology. And that came on the heels of the U.S. Department of Energy's announcement in 2020 of 5 new quantum research centers in the U.S. 2 of those 5 are actually in the Chicago area at Argonne and Fermilab. And then at the University of Illinois, there's a lot of activity going on, too. They announced a quantum computing institute that's going to help train the next quantum computing engineers, and that's part of a $25 million grant from the National Science Foundation. So really, you know, sort of a lot of momentum on the quantum side. Now we're seeing it on the business side as well with some new funding for AeroQ.
University of Illinois at Urbana was the first university to have a computer or something. What was it? I know that it was featured in 2001, A Space Odyssey. That's where HAL was designed. But it seems to me like they have a real-world first, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, and Mark Andreessen was a graduate out of University of Illinois as well, and he, of course, is the famed Silicon Valley investor who, before he became the leader of Andreessen Horowitz, built Netscape. So the first web browser was really born out of the University of Illinois as well.
We've all been sort of charmed by this knock-knock idea. I visited with the CEO the other day. It'd be interesting to see if this thing works, but what are you reading about that?
Yeah, so knock-knock is Airbnb for specific rooms in your home. Yeah. So They allow you to rent out your kitchen, your basement, your rooftop deck by the hour. So, you know, a rooftop on Knock Knock's platform right now going for about $250 an hour. Living room going for about $75 an hour. Hey, you know, it may sound crazy, but hey, Airbnb sounded crazy when it launched too, right? And so I think people are certainly more comfortable with the idea of bringing strangers into their house if they can make a couple bucks. And I think Knock Knock is taking a really interesting approach here.
Yeah, I was wondering what the rates were. And you're absolutely right about the novelty of it being a little disarming at first, but how many of us thought we'd be hopping into strangers' cars 10 years ago and having them drive us wherever? And we think we're more comfortable with that now than most other forms of public transportation. But you said $200 for a rooftop deck an hour?
Yeah, one rooftop in Chicago currently listing for $250. You know, office spaces, I'm seeing one for $25 an hour. You know, some sort of hangout area, living room area going for 75. So it definitely ranges. But, it, you know, the idea is that, you know, hey, if I wanted to get, you know, some cheap office space for a couple hours, you could do that. If you want to host a, you know, a rooftop party for your friends, you could do that. And from the person listing it, you know, hey, if you bought a house in 2022, your mortgage is more expensive than it was probably in 2020. If you want to make a couple bucks here on the side to kind of help supplement that, you know, you can open up your basement, open up your living room to folks to earn a few bucks.
All these stories and more at ChicagoInno.com. Jim Dahlke, senior editor over there. Nice to talk to you, Jim. Thanks for your help today.
Thanks, John.
12:45. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN, and this is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based Home Partners of America is halting home purchases in 38 cities, the latest real estate company to pull back as housing markets overheat. The company's pausing purchases in Boise, Fresno, Memphis, and 25 other cities starting September 1st, and will add 10 more locations on October 1st. Home Partners of America says it hopes to resume purchasing homes in those markets in the future. It operates in more than 80 markets. Home Partners gives tenants a pathway to home ownership. Customers submit an application and identify homes they would eventually like to buy. Home Partners then purchases the property and rents it to the customer, who then gets a chance to purchase the property in the future. Abbott Nutrition is restarting production of Similac baby formula at its plant in Sturgis, Michigan. The plant had already restarted production of specialty formulas earlier this summer. It had been voluntarily closed since February after four babies who had been fed Abbott's formula contracted a bacterial infection. Two of them died. The shutdown contributed to a nationwide shortage of infant formula. The company says it could take up to 6 weeks for Similac formula to hit store shelves. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's time for the Business of Food on WGN. This is Steve Alexander.
We are happy to be sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Live your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's talk about farm safety. And how about this? On average, a child dies in a farming accident somewhere in this country every 3 days. Usually these accidents involve farm equipment, sometimes animals, sometimes just child's play. In Fond du Lac County, Wisconsin, 9-year-old Savannah Grawl, her older sister, and a friend were in a barn playing with new kittens. And also in that barn were giant hay bales, those big rectangular ones that can weigh about a ton.
My kids know not to climb on big bales, but the kittens were next to the big bales.
That's Savannah's mother, Tara Grawl.
My husband had called, so I stepped out for a minute and was talking to him. And I heard my older daughter screaming. She said, Savannah's pinned, and I didn't see her at first. I walked around the corner in the,
What she saw was her daughter, unconscious, not breathing, her head and neck pinned against a steel post by two giant bales that had fallen when the wooden pallet they were stacked on collapsed.
I grabbed my phone and called 911. My daughter ran up to the house to tell my sister-in-law to come down. And she came in and I said, you got to help me get these bales off. I'm thinking there's no way we're going to get these bales off her. She wasn't breathing at that point. Her face was like purple. And we put our backs up against the bales and I give God all the glory. It wasn't our strength. That's for sure. He gave us the adrenaline to lift both of those bales off of her and enough for her to fall kind of out of the way. And then I held them there while my sister-in-law ran around the other side to move her away from the bales.
And here in the story is where Savannah did not become another sad statistic. Her aunt got her breathing. A chopper took her to Children's Wisconsin in Milwaukee. And only a few days later, she's out of ICU, and she may be going home in the next day or two. A very happy ending for the Grawl family of Eden, Wisconsin. Please be careful out there. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Dan Raskin is the owner of Manny's Deli. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN Radio again. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on this new smoked pastrami.
Thank you. Thank you. We're excited to be celebrating our 80th. So we wanted to come out with this new product and something I've been working on for a while.
I said congratulations on it because I assume that's what I just tasted. You dropped some food off here. Was that the smoked that I was trying just now?
That was not. We're actually releasing it tomorrow. We don't even have, we're running a full batch for tomorrow, so we don't have it. It's still cooking right now, but we'll have it available tomorrow. We just sent you our regular corned beef and pastrami combo sandwiches.
Which is really good. Okay, so then why did you decide to come up with a different? I mean, everybody knows, maybe everybody doesn't know, but this is the famous Jewish deli in Chicago that folks have called home for 80 years. The anniversary is tomorrow. Now you've come up with this new sandwich. Why are you trying something new?
I've always really liked the smoked pastrami, and we never really had it, so I just wanted to broaden what we already had. So we're not changing our current items. We're keeping what we have, but we're just adding to it. And I think there's a lot of pastrami fans out there that are looking forward to it.
Smoked meats seem to be pretty popular, too. Everybody's got the home smoker kits and all of that. So it sounds like that's a good space to dabble in right now.
Yeah, we can. I mean, that's everyone's interested in that. And it's a bit different than what we currently have. So, when we were trying it here, our staff were in love right away. So we're excited to share.
Now, are you doing a half-price thing tomorrow then to kind of kick this off?
Yeah, so for that sandwich, we're calling it the 80, to celebrate our 80 years in business. We're offering half off that sandwich tomorrow, and we're also offering free potato pancakes all day with sandwich purchase. And we'll have some other stuff, like some free soft drinks and some cake to celebrate our anniversary. So we're super excited and looking forward to seeing everyone tomorrow.
Is this going to be a limited run, or is this permanently going to be on the menu?
We're going to run it temporarily for the next few weeks, and we'll see how it goes. It's while supplies last, and it's a smoked item. We can only make so much of it. And if it does well, we'll keep it. But I was just excited because it's something that I really like that I wanted to share with our customers. So we're rolling with it.
Okay, so Manny's Deli. What's the address of Manny's Deli again? I'm looking at it here. What do you got there?
We're 1141 South Jefferson Street. We're at Roosevelt and Jefferson. There's parking behind us. You can order online. Stop in anytime. But we look forward to seeing everybody.
Well, I'm anxious to try this. I've been noshing on your regular corned beef today. And you know I love the stew you got there and everything else. So keep up the good work and congratulations on 80 years. And tomorrow, half off the special new Manny's The 80 Deli Sandwich. We'll talk again, Dan. Keep it up.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Yeah, 80 years for them over there.